From the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all you mothers a wonderful and an enjoyable Mother's Day. May your families show you honor, and may they do so not just today, but every day, as we should respect and honor our mothers. Well, those of us who no longer have our mothers here with us, we sure have some wonderful memories, do we not? We certainly do. Well, our study this morning, being Mother's Day, will include some mothers. We're not just going to single out one to study, one particular godly mother, but I want us to notice the love shown by a few women who went to the tomb early Sunday morning after our Lord and Savior had been crucified. Well, four are named: Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast out seven demons; Mary, the mother of James, one of the apostles; Salome, the mother of John and James, of course. John and James, of course, were brothers and fishermen with Peter and Andrew. And Joanna, the wife of Cusas, Herod's steward. And so we find this account in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and also John 20. How wonderful it must have been for these women to later see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, risen from the grave. Well, our study today is not of the resurrection itself, but to appreciate the love shown by these women. And so we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to welcome you this morning to PFE. As we all should know, that's the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then, as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. In other words, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And you would receive a very warm welcome. I can assure you of that. Something else to mention: if you're interested in studying the Bible together, we look forward to those opportunities. So please let us know, and we'll set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, the address: 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study, as we're going to go to Mark's account and read from chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And we'll use this as our text. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And Joanna was also included, as we know from another account. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. So, how wonderful it must have been for these women to later see Jesus, our Savior, risen from the grave. But again, we're not particularly studying the resurrection this morning, but we certainly want to note that this is the occasion, and in particular this Mother's Day, let's appreciate the love that's shown by these women. So, what are some lessons that we can learn as we observe things about these godly women? Number one, their love put to shame the men. Where were the men who loved Jesus? These women were last at the cross and first at the tomb. How many times is it the case that the love of women for Christ puts men to shame? Well, we could think of quite a few times, could we not? Remember the widow that put to shame all those in the temple, Mark 12, 41 and 42? She only put in two mites, but that was all she had. And so she gave more than all of those together. That's right. She had trust. She didn't starve to death. Men, what about our love for Christ? What does my action say? Bob Hawkins, examine yourself. In Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What do my actions say? Now, Mark 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And of course, the second is likened unto it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. But you see, Jesus here in Mark 12, verse 30, was quoting Deuteronomy 6, 5, as he was answering the lawyer's question about which is the greatest commandment. So let's take that to heart. Lesson number two. Their love did not waver facing great difficulties. How were they going to roll back the stone? Think about that. They're going to anoint the body of Christ, and that is a huge stone at the mouth of the tomb. What about the Roman guards? Who would be there watching their every move? They would be certainly an obstacle. And so Mark 16:3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Well, that didn't deter them from their gold. Of course not. Their love did not waver facing great difficulties. Well, of course, they were surprised to see the stone roll back. Well, here's a question for us. What about our love for the Lord when we are facing difficulties? Do we let difficulties hinder our service to God? Well, when health problems arise, when our brethren in Christ disappoint us, when family problems arise, or we lose a loved one, do we let these difficulties hinder our service to God? Notice in Revelation, the Revelation, and this is chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord said, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus overcame. Yes, he overcame death, as we see from this context. The resurrection chapter is 1 Corinthians 15, which we've studied before. But the point is, are we overcoming the difficulties of life? Which we certainly can, with the Lord's help. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us, Philippians 4:13. But without Christ, we can do nothing, John 15:5. But let's go on and notice a third lesson from our study of the love shown by a few women. Well, this is a great lesson here, because their love was greater than their faith. They had come to embalm the body of Jesus and weep over him. Remember, Nicodemus had already embalmed the Lord's body with 100-pound weight of spices, John 19:38. Well, they were not expecting to find the tomb empty. Therefore, they were not doing this by faith. So, that's a point to consider here. This is not something they're doing by faith, because they didn't expect an empty tomb. And they had no hope of Jesus being resurrected from the dead when they came to the tomb. Even when the tomb was found empty, they did not remember the words of Jesus, evidently. Luke 24:3-8. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they remembered having been reminded. Well, when the women did realize, of course, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, they were not believed at first by the disciples or others, as you see in Luke 24, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Well, they would later, as we all know. But here is the emphasis that we need to understand in this third lesson, that their love was greater than their faith. They really didn't have any faith at that point, and they didn't have hope either. So we go now to 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13, remember, this is in the context of miraculous miracles, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and members of the Church of Christ there in Corinth were arguing over who had the best gift. And Paul's going to show them a greater way as you go into chapter 13. This is the love chapter, agape love. And, of course, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, the miracles would cease. Those miraculous gifts would cease when the perfect Word of God came forth. They would no longer be needed. And so Paul goes on to say in verse 13, And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Agape love, in other words. Well, faith will no longer be the case in heaven. Hope will be realized what continues in heaven. That's right. Love. Agape love. Agape. And so this in the King James is the word charity. So what about us? Do we realize that love is the greatest of these three? We should, because it is. And thus, the lesson for us is to ask ourselves, is my love for the Lord a sacrificial love? Do I deny myself? Let's all ask ourselves that question. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, number one, let him deny himself, and number two, take up his cross daily, and number three, follow me. So in order to follow Christ, we're going to have to deny self. And we're going to have to put to death anything that would get in the way of our putting the kingdom of God first, that is the church of Christ. And then, of course, we're truly his followers. So we have to have a sacrificial love. When secular activities become more important than attending the services, the church services, are we denying ourselves? No. No, we're not. But we're fooling ourselves, are we not? When we put family first, yes, family members come over, and it's time to go to the Bible class hour. Following the Bible class hour is the worship service. Are we going to put family guests or whoever the guest may be? Why not take them with us? And if they refuse, make yourselves comfortable. We'll be back after the services are over, Lord willing. We could say something like that, could we not? If we're denying ourselves properly, making sacrifices, in other words. God is not going to take second place. Love can live. While faith weakens and struggles, it can be the seed for renewing our faith and hope, can it not? Think about it. This is a great lesson from these godly ladies. And it's certainly a fitting study for Mother's Day. Now, their love was under God's law. Yes, this is the fourth lesson we want to look at. Their love was under God's laws. Of course it was. Notice that these women did not come on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week, Sunday, to anoint the Lord's body. If they had come on the seventh day of the week, they would have violated the Sabbath day, Exodus 20:8-11. Notice Luke 23:55-56. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So we know that's what they did. The Word of God tells us that's what they did. Well, if they had violated the Sabbath day, they wouldn't have found the tomb empty, would they? What about our love for God? Is it under God's laws? Bob Hawkins, do you put God's laws first? Or do you allow worldly things to come first? Well, all of us need to answer that question honestly. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So for those who think it's all right to worship God any way you want and go out to the lake or wherever, that's not assembling together with the saints, is it? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But as you see the day approaching, so much more you want to be encouraged that you're going to gather with the saints. It should be something we look forward to. Hebrews 10:25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Who missed that? So many are missing it. They're not there when they could be. It's not about sickness or taking care of a sick person. Sometimes we're hindered. Tornado hits, wipes out the church building. Well, we have to find somewhere else to meet. There's things that can hinder us, but when we choose not to be with the Lord's people, when we choose not to worship God, what are we saying to God? We're certainly not saying that he comes first. We would be fooling ourselves. Notice 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that's pretty easy to understand, is it not? It's not talking about creation. It's talking about the things that are in the world that keep us or are enticing us. Satan utilizes it. You see the three temptations there as you continue reading in chapter 2 here of 1 John. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how Satan works at getting us to not put the kingdom first, not put God first, but allow the things of the world to interfere. Notice 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. If we're putting the kingdom first, we're going to love him, realizing he first loved us, and respond to his love. 1 John 5, now, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We can overcome the world with the help of Christ. Again, Philippians 4:13, we mentioned earlier. Even our faith. This is faith that's with substance. Real faith. Not a wavering faith, doubting faith, but real faith. And having the love of God that we should, as we've seen with these women. That's right. Would we not all agree God is worthy of our love and devotion? Does anybody disagree with that? I don't think so, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. So we've looked at four lessons this morning from the love shown by a few women, which should be applied to our lives. That's right. We want to make the application. It's one thing to study this together. It's another to actually put it into action. Learn from it. These women's love is a challenge to all of us, especially we men. May we have the kind of love for the Lord that will not waver. And that is greater than our faith, and yet it's under God's law as well. Now, if our love for the Lord is not what it should be, why not start today? Are you going to make excuses? Would I make excuses if I'm lacking? Well, they won't do much good. They won't do any good. You want to know the truth about it? We're just fooling ourselves, aren't we? If we're in that situation, don't make excuses, because there are none. And putting God first, responding to His love. If we follow our Lord in this life, then we will be ready to follow Him in death, and then into everlasting life at His coming. Oh, what a great day that will be for those who love His appearing. But if we're not ready, we're not going to love His appearing. We're going to want to hide. Are you ready? Am I ready for that great day to come? Because it's coming, we just don't know when. We need to be ready. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Now, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's not enough just to believe. The devils believe and tremble. But we've got to go further than just belief. But this is, of course, a part of the plan of salvation. John 8:24, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Now we're going to repent if we're responding to the love of God, and as we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're going to want to repent and get out of sin and go in a new direction and seek the will of God. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, gotten out of a life of sin, we're ready now to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. We see that's unto salvation, so we're not there yet. But here's the step that puts us into contact with the precious blood of Christ. As we submit, humbling ourselves to die to sin by being buried into the death of Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We're born again spiritually, having our sins washed away by the blood of Christ. And again, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.